Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here you go. Live hour number two in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. We were talking about Caitlin Clark's star power. And an example of, I don't really know how to define it. It's not just you're a great player. There's a lot of, I mean, Matt Stafford is a great player. But I don't think he, like, is a star outside. Like, he's in L.A. Matt Stafford isn't a top five or six guy you see or talk about. Though I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen. And there's just certain people. Jared Goff's excellent. But in Detroit, you know, does he feel as big as, you know, whoever, Isaiah Thomas or something? You know, I mean, there are certain people that have a magnetic personality. A prime example is NASCAR. Jeff Gordon was a star. The car does 75% of the work. You have a helmet on. You're inside of a car that's got protection devices. I can't even see you. I can't even see you. You can put a camera here. I can barely see you. And he was a star. Well, he was good looking. There's a lot of good looking people in motorsports. He was a star. The car does the work. There's been a lot of great tennis players, but when I grew up, there was no question. Serena is a star, and Chris Everett was a star. There have been a lot of great tennis players. I mean, you can go look at all the great. Pete Sampras was great, but Agassi had star power. I ran into Pete Sampras at a grocery store 6 months ago, and he didn't feel like a star there, and he wasn't when he was a player, but he was unbelievable. Whatever it is, I can't explain it, but it Caitlin Clark has it. Now, some of it is her game. But, I mean, a great example is Giannis came into the league, the NBA, and I remember when he was, like, getting first MVP, and the NBA put his playoff game on at, like, noon on NBA TV. They were telling you, we see the demographics, we see the numbers. He just doesn't move it. Kevin Durant's never had a ton of pull with ratings. Believe it or not, I talked to somebody inside the NBA about this. Kevin Durant's a great player. Doesn't have a lot of star power. I don't know. Now, Steph Curry is married. He's got kids. Maybe that's relatable. They're both great players. Also, with Steph Curry, he's smaller. So people, you know, young kids look at Steph Curry and think, oh, I could do that. It's hard to look at Shaq or Giannis or Embiid or Jokic and say, at 7'2", 300 pounds, that's what I'm going to do someday. So there's part of it's that.
And also, big guys never sold shoes, right? Like, the Shaq shoe was never a big shoe. Stephen Curry might not have the best shoe seller, but people are going to tune in to watch him. And, oh, by the way, they might buy his shoe. That's the difference with guards. You think, I can do that. I can't be 7'1 and dunk a basketball.
Michael Jordan, the biggest stars in my life are Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods. Now, think about that. Boxing and golf. Not exactly TV blockbusters, literally changed viewing habits. Now, Tiger, it was dominance, and he was a little inappropriate for golf. He would throw a club, he would swear, he would pump a fist. So Tiger was greatness, plus he wasn't golf. African-American, again, gets mad. You know, I mean, he looked like a linebacker. He was all right. So there was a lot of things going on. He was also a prodigy. He was good when he was like three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that explains Tiger. Michael Jordan was the coolest player, first big shoe deal, best looking guy, yeah. Most stylish guy, and great. That's an easy one. Muhammad Ali was provocative, also very handsome, but very provocative. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You've never met anything like Muhammad Ali or whatever it was. So, like, Ali was like lyrical, a poet, great, cocky, different. My dad didn't like Ali, like Frazier. I loved Ali, didn't like Frazier. So it could be in your family, you would pick sides with Ali. You liked him or didn't. He was polarizing. Tiger wasn't polarizing. He was just unique and great. And then Michael Jordan was cool. And there's a lot of great basketball players. Not a lot of basketball players are cool. I like Jason Tatum. I don't think he's cool.
Booker's cool.
Booker's got a coolness.
Yeah, there's...
Steph's got kind of a cool and a shake to him.
Yeah.
LeBron's great, kind of cool, maybe not. Michael was cool. So Magic wasn't cool. He was just crazy good and fun. Magic Johnson was really a party. It was like Steve Martin, the comedian. Did he have the best jokes? Jerry Seinfeld explained, just when he was on stage, everybody was having a good time. Magic wasn't the greatest athlete or the greatest shooter. You could not watch a Magic Johnson basketball game. Go to YouTube. It was every time up the floor, it's one-handed this and no look that. Magic was fun, even today in Los Angeles. And I'm not kidding you, it's crazy. If I go to a Laker game, couple of year, and if Magic Johnson, all these years later, all the stars, you go to a Laker game, there's movie stars, there's basketball stars, there's everything. When Magic walks into the building, he's been in that building 10,000 times, the crowd rises. That's Michael Jordan. So I don't know what it is. I can't. Secretariat as a horse was a star. It was the greatest horse ever. We like the greatest. We like cool, and polarizing also works.
Magic once told me a story, Colin, about him and Kareem. Kareem's arguably the greatest center ever, top five player ever at worst, right?
Yeah.
Magic told me that early on in his career, that when he was with Kareem, Kareem saw the way he interacted with the fans. Not only that, Magic invited it. He wanted the fans to come into his orbit. He experienced that because he wanted them to love him just as much as he loved them. Kareem said, I could never do that. That's you. That's why you're you. I'm going to be me. And Kareem was a great player, but he wasn't.
That's right.
He wasn't magnetic like Magic.
That's right. That's a perfect word
to me.
Magic was magnetic. All right, let's go to Nick Wright joining us now live, co-host First Things First. We were talking about Caitlin Clark, and it is interesting. Like, I'm on the internet last night because I'm sitting there watching women's basketball for like 4 hours. And people are like, Kim Mulkey's coaching. And I'm like, folks, you understand everybody in the league has also been trying to stop LeBron for 20 years and Luka for 6. You can't stop great. They just get shot. Mahomes is the greatest example. Is everybody spends all offseason, we got to stop that guy in Kansas City. This year he had bad receivers. And he wins the Super Bowl. I watch Caitlin Clark, and it's like, I kind of feel like I watch Steph in his prime. It just looks different. And the great ones, and Mahomes is really this. The great ones make it look easy, and you can't figure out why it looks so easy. I watch Mahomes, and I'm like, why does he always see the... I mean, I watch Caitlin, and I'm like, if it was easy to stop her, you'd think LSU could, and they couldn't.
So I agree with almost all of that. I also maybe would have thrown a few more double teams at her. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't know. Haley Van Lith was having a tough night, and it seemed like Flauge might have been able to at least slow her a bit. They didn't go to that until there were 4 minutes left. But here's what is so, to me, remarkable about Caitlin. It doesn't look easy to me, Colin. It's off balance, off the dribble, fading from 26 feet. Here is what I think is one of the coolest things about Caitlin Clark. Over the last decade, we have seen in prep sports, college, and now in the pros, guys who, when they were very young, watched Steph Curry and said, I want to play like him. And none of them have been able to do it. And she has.
Yeah.
She is the first person, male or female, that has taken Steph's game and duplicated it to her skill set. Whether it's the kick-ahead passing, whether it is the great court vision, or the impossible range. When they showed that stat last night that her average three-pointer this tournament or this season is from 26-plus feet, and then you saw it yesterday, I mean, it's incomprehensible. And so this is, she is, I understand that there is, we now, you know, everything is a GOAT debate in some way, shape, or form. And when you look at her resume compared to Taurasi or Breanna Stewart or Cheryl Miller or Shamiqua Holtzclaw, those people, they all have multiple national titles. And I don't think Caitlin's going to get one because I think South Carolina is better. People are going to say, so how can she be the best? But the answer is, aside from Cheryl Miller, who obviously was pre-WNBA, what all of those other women had in common was multiple, in Breanna Stewart, in Deanna Taurasi's case, eight teammates that were WNBA players. Breanna Stewart, a half dozen teammates that were WNBA players. Caitlin Clark is a one-woman show on an undermanned team. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
If she doesn't get 35, we win. And she just keeps getting 35. It is really special to watch. And it doesn't matter that it's women's basketball. People love stars and great athletic events. And that crosses any gender lines there was. That was one of my most favorite nights of basketball all year, men's or women's, professional or college.
Yeah. I was saying, in my lifetime, the three biggest stars, and again, this shows my age, Ali, polarizing, good-looking, kind of lyrical, right? Michael Jordan, great and cool. Michael was the earring, the dress, the cool, the swagger. And then Tiger Woods. Now, LeBron's big. Tiger made me watch golf. I changed my weekend for Tiger Woods. Now, there have been a lot of other, you know, LeBrons, Mahomes, Bradys, but I always watch the NFL. They're not driving me to a TV. I'm watching the NFL. But for me, it's Ali, Jordan, and Tiger. Are there, you know, we're different ages. If I said to you, three people that literally uniquely got you to a TV.
So Tiger is first top on my list as well. So Tiger, one of my earliest sports memories is being a little kid visiting my now past grandfather in Florida and him saying, you've got to watch this with me. This kid is about to do something no one's ever done, which is win either his second or third straight U.S. amateur. And we turned it on and it was Tiger. And honestly, from that moment to when he won his last Masters, the one post-scandal, the one a few years ago, when I got my daughter to watch Sunday with me because I was so captivated, he held my attention and my fandom the way almost no athlete ever has. I got goosebumps talking about it. Like the Tiger phenomenon is unlike anything of my lifetime across any sport. And so Ali was obviously before me. I was thinking of someone who would have checked the box, Colin, for, you know, your parents, might have been Mickey Mantle, who checked a lot of those same boxes, even if he wasn't necessarily the greatest baseball player ever, the star power and the charisma and those types of things. But in, you know, in the last 25 years, I think it would be Tiger, Shaquille O'Neal, in a unique way, from tearing down backboards to the movies to all of that. And I'm trying to think who the third would be. I don't want to be, but like, I don't think it's an NFL guy, because as great as Brady or Mahomes are, it's such a team sport, and it's the, you're kind of just watching the league as a whole. I'm not sure who the third would be. What I do know as far as elevating an individual sport, Caitlin and her cohorts, by the way, the women at LSU, Juju, who I think might end up being the best of all of them.
Yeah.
Paige at UConn, who was on pace to be the best, got hurt, and now might win the whole thing. We have a moment right now where you have this star influx to professional women's basketball that could change the sporting landscape, not to the same degree Tiger changed golf, but to where a sport or a league that was very niche in the WNBA matters, because we now know more of the upcoming first round WNBA draft pick names than we know the NBA draft pick names for the upcoming draft.
So you're going to be probably better at this than me. It's generational. So Sean Payton, and I don't like cliched coaches. So I love Sean Payton. He's authentic. He'll criticize a player. Sure. Most coaches won't. It's why I love him. He was one of my best guests. I mean, you, him, Klatt are some of the best guests I've ever had, right? And so he said
again, Broussard.
There, yeah. So he said over the course of a couple days, he criticized Russell again on holding the ball, which the data is very clear. Smaller quarterbacks get sacked a lot. Baker, Kyler, Russell, it's just a fact. Josh Allen, last year, least sacked quarterback. He can see down the field. That's why I like Penix. Caleb, they move or they can see down the field. Small quarterbacks can be problematic, not just with injuries, but seeing. But it's interesting is, I mean, between Payton, the Seahawks, and teammates, I don't ever remember a really good player in pro sports getting publicly criticized like Russell. There's nothing like it. There's no comp. What do you make of it? Is it jealousy? It's what do you make of it? Again, Sean Payton came out with an opinion.
So I just got, by the way, at the beginning of that question to me, the audio went out entirely, but I got it at the end just in time. So I think I can answer the question. So here's what I take. I believe, and I was saying this last year, and I think, and I'm not a guy, I'm not going to act like Colin, I can grind the all 22 the way Cosell can on your show and, you know, and break down stuff. But I think I have a discerning football eye. And I watched every single Broncos game last year. And I said on this show and on my show and anyone that would listen, that I thought Russell Wilson was playing a selfish brand of quarterback. And that sounds like I'm creating a criticism. Like, what does that even mean? And what I meant by that was, I think Russell Wilson knew he was going to be looking for work this summer and knew he needed to have something to hang his hat on, and determined pretty early on, that's going to be my touchdown interception ratio. That is going to be that you are going to be able to put up the stats and say, look at the passer rating, look at the touchdown interception ratio. He's better. I'm still good. I'm better than you think. And in service of that, Colin, he took some of the worst, most drive-killing, inexplicable sacks I have ever seen. And that is 95 sacks over the last two seasons for Russell Wilson. This past season, there were opportunities to make plays. And instead, he ate the football because he was, I think, trying to protect his numbers. So I think that's what Sean Payton is talking about. I think Sean, because the reason that Russell Wilson got benched when they were still alive for the postseason was, yes, the injury guarantee, I get that. But also because I think Sean Payton was turning on the film every Monday and saying, you've got to be kidding me. There are plays to be made, and if it is not a layup, if it is not an obvious play, you won't make it. Instead, you're killing us with these sacks. And so I think that is the frustration, and I think that's why they're still talking about him in Denver.
All right, you have your mock draft you have put out, and there's a story today that the Patriots are into J.J. McCarthy. I think they want to drive up the price, as that's what I think they want to do.
Oh, yeah, well.
So let's explain
your mock draft. They saw what great stuff they got for J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, that's what it was. So we can go through this real quick.
Yeah.
I think the first two are pretty obvious, Colin.
Yeah.
And I like Caleb's going to go number one. And I thought, here's something that I thought was interesting. Washington moving off Sam Howell, I thought was a signal they're going to take Drake May, because Howell and Drake May were college teammates and having a, you know, quote, quarterback competition between the guy you drafted number two and the guy who he was under in college would be awkward. So I think those two are pretty much locked. If that is the case, then I think the Patriots have there's a strong argument to be made, Colin, that they are not ready yet to draft a quarterback at three with the lack of offensive linemen, offensive weapons. And so you get Minnesota that desperately wants J.J. McCarthy traded already to get a second first-round pick so they can move up. You get pick 11, you get pick 23, and a future pick if you're New England. They take J.J. McCarthy, and then it gets interesting. Arizona takes Marvin Harrison Jr., pretty much a no-brainer. And then there is another connection here, which is Antonio Pierce coached Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. And if you're the Raiders and you say, you know what? He's not going to get past Denver. He's not going to get to us if we stay there at 13. We know your point about Jim Harbaugh, Colin, I think is totally correct. He wants as many picks as possible over these next few years when he has an intense knowledge of the players. He wants offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So they move back. And then I think the next five, I'm most curious your thoughts on the last one I have. The Giants need a receiver. They've needed one. Everyone knows the Titans are going to take Joe Alt. The Falcons being able to take the first defensive player off the board at number eight would be great. The Bears all of a sudden have a great receiving core with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. And then there is, to me, what will be, and I want your take on this, the most telling moment of the draft. At number 10, Brock Bowers will be there, as will be probably the second best offensive lineman in the draft. Will the Jets do the responsible thing and say, we just signed a 33-year-old injury-prone left tackle. We have another 33-year-old tackle. Offensive line injuries ruined us last year. We're going to take a tackle so we are insured against injury, so we have a future plan there. Or are they going to do undoubtedly what Aaron would like them to do, which is take the shiny, cool weapon in Brock Bowers? I think the grown-up decision would be to take a tackle, which is why I expect the Jets to do the non-grown-up decision and take the tight end. But that's how I think the first round could play out, assuming those trades are made. Your thoughts on
The interesting one for me is I think Matt Eberflus, as a defensive coach, is going to pound the table for a defensive player because they added Keenan Allen, Swift, Gerald Everett, Caleb Williams. Sure. He's going to go, hey, can you do me a solid? Can I get a defensive player? And I do think there's an edge rusher potentially. So I think Chicago is going to try to move down to about 13, 14 and get a defensive player, because I do think coaches make more than GMs. They pound the table for their guys. By the way, Harbaugh, he wants that tackle at Oregon State, the best run blocking tackle. So
Fuaga.
Harbaugh, he wants to move down. And because it's probably a reach to get that tackle at like 5, 6, but at 10, yep. 11, 12. So I don't disagree with it. I tend to think the Jets, I think Brock Bowers is one of three players that I cannot see busting. And I think the draft generally has, I've been told this by GMs, there'll be two to three players a draft. There's no chance they'll bust. Last year, Bijan Robinson, the running back, Texas. And I had a GM say, yep, he's the cleanest running back drafted since LaDainian Tomlinson. Great kid. Doesn't fumble. Blocks. Catch. There's nothing. There's not a flaw. He doesn't fumble. That was LaDainian Tomlinson. Patrick Willis, the linebacker at Ole Miss, was that. He went 11. There was no chance it wasn't going to work. I think Brock Bowers is going to work. I think Aaron, you know, let's be honest.
Yes, Aaron would want him. Aaron would want him. But your point, if I may, Colin, about the Bears, I think is a really interesting one, which is, I totally agree with you that if they are going to go defense, I think they can trade out of 9.
Yes.
I think there are going to be teams that will see Odunze and Bowers and Fuaga on the board and say, we really want to move up. I'll throw a different team at you that I think is drafting at 18. What if Cincinnati does trade T. Higgins? What if they're like, you know what, we can't pay Burrow, Chase, and Higgins? Would Cincinnati then be interested in moving from 18 up to 9 or 10 or up to 9 with the Bears to draft a weapon on a rookie salary scale that works better with their timeline as far as paying Burrow and Chase? If you're the Bears and you're not going to take Odunze at 9 if he's there, I do think moving down makes sense because this draft is so heavy with 4 quarterbacks projected to go in the top 10, to at least one, probably 3 offensive linemen projected to go in the top 15, and a guaranteed 3 receivers that are going to go in the top 15. If you want, you could get the 3rd defensive player in the draft with the 16th pick of the draft. If you want to draft defense in this draft, you're going to be able to get a blue chip guy in mid or late first round. And the Bears don't really have a bunch of late draft capital. And so I could see them trying to trade that 9th pick to have, you know, kind of further supplement the roster.
Buddy, as always, it's great seeing you. Loved your thoughts on all this stuff. Say hi to Brew and Kevin Wilds, and the show is cooking.
And I'll tell Brew he missed the cut for the top three guests. Me, Klatt, and the coach of the Saints. That's the list. And write it in stone. See you later.
All right. See you later.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip. But they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
At a certain scale, challenges surface. You deserve a tailored solution. That's netsuite.com/HERD. Check out their popular KPI checklist, absolutely free. Jordan Schultz with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Colin, let's start in the NFL where journeyman Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut, landed in San Francisco this offseason. Dobbs started for the Cards and Vikings last year, and here he is talking about joining the Niners and backing up Brock Purdy.
At the end of the day, like, he has to be the decision maker and the driving force of the offense. And the way he makes good decisions, takes care of the football, and plays just efficient, clean football. Like, he might not go out there and make the wow play all the time, but he's going to go out there and put his team in a great position to be successful. And that's what you have to do, especially in the Shanahan offense. And then obviously, especially when you have some really good weapons around you.
That's the best way I've put it. He plays clean football. He makes good decisions. I don't deny either of those. And he puts his team in a situation to win. You can't ask Brock to make spectacular playmaking efforts. That's not what he is. But Josh Dobbs, who, by the way, isn't he like a...
Astrophysicist.
Yeah. Like, he's one of the smartest people in the league, and forget players, everybody. That's the smartest way I've heard it described. Just a clean player, puts you in a position to win, audibles out of trouble, audibles into the good stuff if he ever has to, and gets the ball to the elite Hall of Fame level athletes. And I think it does work with Shanahan when you don't pay Brock Purdy. If you ever have to pay him, then you're going to have to move off a Brandon Ayuk or a George Kittle, and then you're going to need more playmaking ability. But don't tell me he's great. Don't put him in that elite class
because he has a great coach and the best weapons in the league. That's not what he is.
Yeah, I had a scout tell me that with Brock Purdy, he's good. What's his ceiling? Can he be really good? I'm not sure. You have to have everything around him be really sound. They have that right now, Colin, but they have yet to have that Super Bowl success. They obviously had Jimmy. They couldn't get there. They had Alex Smith, Cap. I wonder if Brock Purdy's good enough to get them to that next level.
I think the NFC and his division is going to be better this year, noticeably better. And I've said this before. I think San Francisco will remain very viable, but I do believe I've seen the best of them. I think they're good veteran players. How many years can you ask McCaffrey to touch the ball 250 times? Like, we did have an injury history in Carolina. I don't think you can just keep feeding him the ball. They've got to hit on another running back. They've got to take about 30% of his touches off McCaffrey to extend him. And I think these last 2 years, I mean, Shanahan's record is great with McCaffrey. It's around 500 without him. So they have got to find, they've missed on a couple of third round running backs. They got to go find a running back.
They've also paid a lot of their defensive players. They still have to pay or make a decision on Brandon Ayuk. We haven't seen that yet. Next up, the Baltimore Ravens had the fourth-ranked scoring offense in year one under first-year OC Todd Monken from Georgia. John Harbaugh would like to see the offense continue to improve this year and wants Lamar Collin to be heavily involved in designing the structure.
He's got a lot of thoughts. I mean, it's like any, there's no one football thing, you know. I think he's looking at every aspect of his game. He starts with himself. That's what I love about Lamar. What can I do better? And that's why he continues to improve. And then he goes to what we need, you know, what we need schematically in his view. And, he trusts the coaches, and he wants to, like, we talked that week and shared ideas schematically, also personnel-wise. And Lamar will be part of the architect. I believe he'll be a big part of the architect on the offense.
By the way, you know why Baltimore has had over the last like 15 years continuity? Because Flacco in his prime was good and Lamar in his prime is good. They don't run through coaches. They make changes when they want to make changes. So for all the critics of Lamar, I'd say he's a lot like Flacco. I get great weeks and I get some disappointments, but if you win games in the regular season and keep getting into the playoffs, you don't have to fire coaches and GMs. And the Ravens, like the Packers, have a lot of continuity. They don't run through coaches. And, Lamar wins 75% of his games. I thought this was the first year of his career that he finally had elite weapons. OBJ didn't necessarily click, but I think once Mark Andrews comes
Big
back
flowers.
With Trey, it's like, okay, now this is a real receiving core. And again, I think they'll be, along with Kansas City, I don't know, I think Kansas City, they've got a hit and a receiver, but I think Baltimore is going to be a number one seed again, potentially.
They also have someone by the name of Derrick Henry now in that backfield.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a scary thought of him and Lamar lining up together. I mean, yep. He's made to be a Raven. The New England Patriots, Colin, they hold the third pick in the upcoming draft. They'll likely be selecting a quarterback. There was a report that the Patriots' de facto GM, Elliott Wolf, is pushing hard for them to select Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. Some context, Elliott Wolf's dad, Ron Wolf, he, of course, traded for Brett Favre in Green Bay, so maybe this is his Brett Favre. Who knows? Colin, would you be shocked if the Pats took McCarthy third overall?
No, because I think there's a feeling Caleb's the best, Drake May physically is the most impressive, and then there's varying opinions on who's the third best. And so it just depends on your taste. I mean, I think Caleb is viewed as the most dynamic from every GM I've talked to. Every scouting director is like, he's different. Drake May at 6'4 and a half, 220 is big, physical, inconsistent, but it looks like he could play in cold weather, bad O-line. And then I think there's varying opinions. I like Bo Nix more than most. I like J.J. McCarthy a little less than most. I like Penix more than most. Maybe I'm a little, I don't love Jalen Daniels as much as everybody else. I think they're all talented. But I think J.J. McCarthy in New England would not work. I don't think one of the things I said about J.J. McCarthy, he reminds me of one of those Alabama quarterbacks that he plays with 15 NFL guys, plays with a lead, great defense, great O-line run game, and a great coach. He didn't play with a lot of discomfort at Michigan. Mm. Either did Tua. Either did Mac Jones. And Mac Jones got discomfort up in New England and didn't like it. Didn't like the coaching. Didn't like the finger pointing. And I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy has the same personality, but there is a, when you've got 16 NFL players, 17 NFL players, and you're not getting hit much, and you always play with a lead, And I mean, Michigan only played a couple games last year where it was competitive. Even the road games, they didn't have to throw on the road and they beat Penn State. So I think going to New England for any of these guys not named Caleb Williams is a problem.
Yeah, I will tell you that I asked J.J. McCarthy about some of the criticism. He's not throwing the ball a lot. I asked him when they played Penn State, you guys ran the ball 32 straight times. And he said, listen, my DNA is winning. And I said, okay, how so? And he said, well, I won two state championships in high school. I won a national championship at IMG, so that's three. And then I won a national championship in Michigan. I'm the third winningest quarterback in college football history. He wasn't being boastful. He was just saying, look, what's asked of me, I deliver. So I hear you on J.J. McCarthy, but I do think this is someone with the winning DNA that could potentially work in New England.
Cross your fingers, Patriot fans. He will not have much to work with if he goes there. Jordan with the news.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Saturday on FS1, witness one of the greatest lineups of all time, powered by three former MVPs, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. Lead the Dodgers as they take on Cody Bellinger and the Cubs. It all begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1.
By the way, how good of an athlete is Mookie Betts? He's now their shortstop.
Also, he's bowled like six perfect games. The guy was an all-state point guard in Tennessee. He's an absolute freak of nature.
Shortstop. Of all the positions, you're going to say, I'm going to try a new one.
Yeah.
Catcher and shortstop, kind of difficult.
Yeah.
If you want to play right field, it's one thing. I'm not saying it's easy at the big league level. You know, I was thinking about this. I was name drop. I was texting Jim Harbaugh last night. Jim and I were going back and forth on something. And, you know, it's so funny when I look at Harbaugh how impatient we all are. And my wife and I talk about this all the time is I was very lucky. I knew what I wanted to do at 8 years old. But most kids don't, right? And so, like, I've got kids in their 20s, and it just takes time, and there's a bunch of different paths and success. So if I'm meeting with a young person after the show today that wants to get into broadcasting, and my message is always resilience is the most important quality. Not where you went to school. You know, parents think it's all about the prep school. No, it's not. It's resilience. In fact, I would argue helicoptering and coddling and setting your kid up for perfect college and prep school doesn't help. It's unrealistic. That's not the real world. They'll be fragile the first time they step in it or somebody screams at them. That's one of the least attractive things as a young employee. Fragile. Get over it. We got our own issues. Get over yours. But I'm thinking about Harbaugh as I'm texting him last night. I can remember people, his first 6 years at Michigan, bum, no good, can't coach. And I'm like, you do get, he won 10 games from five his first year. And yeah, he can't beat Ohio State. Who's beating Ohio State? Georgia? Who the hell's beating Ohio State? Virtually nobody. That's like saying, LeBron got to the finals more than me. Well, okay, Tiger beat me at the Masters. You don't say. Yeah, okay, you lose to Ohio State. All these Buckeye fans are like, he doesn't know. Well, he loses to Michigan State. Michigan State was pretty good when he got into the conference. They had, you know, the coach at the time.
Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah, defensive guy. They had it rolling. But here's an example. And I tell young people, I spoke recently to a college, and I said, it's okay, you're going to fail. You should fail. People ask for advice, and I say, you don't want any advice. My advice is get ready to fail and handle it. Be able to handle it. Here's an example. Jay Wright retired last year college basketball. I was texting Jay this weekend. It's one of my favorite people in the sport. Jay Wright didn't win a title until year 22, and he is great. I covered him his first job. First big job was at UNLV. I was a young sportscaster. He was this George Clooney-looking assistant coach. You knew he was going to be successful. Optimistic, smart, broad thinker, big, you know, not overly emotional. 22 years. Took Jim Calhoun, who I'm going to argue in the history of college sports is as great as anybody we've ever seen. There's no way UConn should have ever been that good. Took him 27 years to win. Was he a bum in the first 26? I'm texting Harbaugh and I'm thinking about this. The crap he went through from people at Michigan. Like, Michigan State, when he got there, had things rolling recruiting. Ohio State's Ohio State. He was beating everybody else. Oh, he couldn't beat Bama. Well, when he first got to Michigan, nobody was beating Bama. Georgia couldn't beat Bama. It took John Calipari 20 years, John Wooden 18 years. Bill Self, maybe the best coach in college basketball, took him 15. Now remember, and he took over a great program. Bill Self took over Roy Williams' Kansas program. He didn't take over Winthrop. He took over Kansas. They invented basketball. Took Bill Self 15 years. Could be the best coach in the country. Dan Hurley, great high school, great coach. Took him 13. And he had to do it at UConn, which helped. Now, Kevin Ollie won like second or third year, but he followed Calhoun, the culture, the inertia. That's nothing against Kevin Ollie. There are coaches that have won. Tom Izzo won very quickly in his career. I think it was year four for Tom Izzo. But he replaced Judd Heathcote. Right? Like, so Tom replaced Michigan State back then they had Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. They had won a title. And they were, Michigan State's been good in basketball my entire life. They've been good. And so you start looking at all these coaches. Dean Smith took 21 years. Jim Boeheim took 27. So when you know, and again, Tubby Smith won quickly, but Tubby Smith, I think, won at Kentucky.
Didn't he take? I mean,
yeah, they beat Utah. It was his first year, I believe, and he had taken
over. His first year at Kentucky.
Yeah,
but
after Pitino. Oh,
yeah, Pitino stacked the roster. Right. Pitino had like nine guys in the NBA and was the first guy shooting threes.
Right, right.
So it's like Pitino now at St. John's is smarter than he's ever been. You're not winning at St. John's. So it's like when I see all these young people out there and all the criticism, like Sean Payton gets crap in Denver. It's not his GM. He inherited Russell Wilson. He had to rebuild the offensive line, which, by the way, they did in 1 year. He did it in one off. Mike Tomlin's been trying to rebuild that line in Pittsburgh for 6 years, and he can't do it. He did it in 1 year. And it's like, take a deep breath. It didn't used to be like this, that we are much more impatient. Part of the reason we're impatient is this iPhone. People don't read articles. They read headlines. People want answers. They want results. They don't happen. It was so funny. Somebody yesterday texted me, how do you think Jordan Schultz did? That was his first show. I thought he was fine. I said, can we give him 30? Can we give him 30 shows? And it was a friend of mine who he didn't watch. He said, hey, how'd he do? And I said, well, you did a good job. But what do you mean, howdy? That'd be like saying my first day on this air, I couldn't even get my hair right. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's okay. Things take time. Like, it's just, it's hard to be successful in sports. Everybody is, let's face it. The DNA of sports is competition. So some of the most competitive people in the world are in American sports. These people, it's like tech, tech and sports.
Yeah.
Tech is all about the new thing, most efficient, app, fast, quick, evolve. You're competing against the world's smartest people in an industry that is all about invention and creation. That's where all the money is, the new thing. Yeah, it's hard in tech. Most people think tech in Silicon Valley is run by 20-year-olds. You know the richest guys in tech in Silicon Valley? They're almost all in their 50s. Some late 40s. They're almost all in their 50s. They've been doing tech for 35 years. It's hard to succeed. It takes time. Be patient.
You mentioned Calhoun. For those who haven't been to stores, it's not exactly Miami.
I have.
Mean, you have. So to get guys to come there and stay there like he did, that to me is pretty incredible.
Dan Hurley had a great comment on our show. I thought this was so smart. He said, people that go to stores are serious people. They're not about the beach. Mm-hmm. They're not about the money. They're not about the fame. They are serious people. Want to win basketball, end up in the association. We ask them to play defense. This is a serious program. Not all great programs are as serious. Some of it's about the Miami football right now is it's about the payout and about the beach. Not winning enough, right? UConn never has that problem. Hour three next.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.